Well, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor here at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday was a standalone message. So one of those times where we just say, hey, teach from anywhere in the entire scriptures. And so I kind of joked with our folks that I thought, you know, maybe people would think, okay, let's do like John 3:16 or Ephesians 2 or saved by grace through faith or Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And I picked the prophet Jeremiah. We went to Jeremiah chapter 38 and 39. And it's just something that I've been studying recently. I've been reading through Jeremiah in my own personal time. And I came across chapter 39, where God speaks to this guy named Ebed-Melech. And the context is this. Ebed-Melech is an Ethiopian he's a court official who trusts in the Lord during the time right when Judah is being conquered by the Babylonian Empire. And Jeremiah has been imprisoned. He's been thrown into a cistern, basically left to die, because he's telling Zedekiah, the king, and the people of Judah, that God is going to punish them, that Babylon is coming, and they're not going to escape. They need to surrender. And so the court officials are like, we need to kill this guy. He is not helping with the defense of the city. And so they tell Zedekiah, the king, you know, we need to get rid of him. And he says, okay, you know, do what you want. And Zedekiah has this kind of habit of waffling back and forth, because sometimes he's kind of with Jeremiah, sometimes he's not. He's afraid of his officials. He's afraid of the people. And so the court officials take Zedekiah or Jeremiah, they throw him in a cistern to die. And then Ebed-Melech goes to the king and confronts the king. It's a very bold move. He says, what are we doing here? Jeremiah's done nothing wrong. And these men have done evil to Jeremiah. And so the king kind of waffles back and is like, okay, you know, take 30 men and go rescue him. And so Ebed-Melech rescues him. But here's what caught my attention in chapter 39 is when Jerusalem is about to be taken and the Babylonians are going to destroy the temple and conquer, you know, Jerusalem and exile the people, God speaks to Jeremiah, and through Jeremiah speaks directly to Ebed-Melech. And he says, Ebed-Melech, basically, he's in chapter 39, he says, I saw what you did, and I will declare, I will save you, I will deliver you. You will not fall into the hands of the Babylonians. On the day of judgment, I'm going to deliver you because you trusted in me. That's what he says to Ebed-Melech. Because you trusted in me, I will deliver you. And there are a couple of things that struck me about that. One, I think what struck me was that's the message of salvation, right? Is that, hey, God's judgment on sin is coming. But if you trust in him, if you've placed your faith in Jesus, God promises to deliver you, because the judgment has already fallen on Christ and we will be saved. Also, I think what struck me was just how powerful God is. The way I put it in the notes on Sunday is that God is all powerful, but incredibly personal. And I just, the juxtaposition in the chapter where God is governing nations. I mean, he is like moving empires here. The Babylonians are coming in and God says, they're just a tool in my hand. And he's bringing about the discipline of Judah, and he's exiling the people, and the people of Judah are looking to Egypt to help them. But God's like, Egypt's not going to be able to help you. I mean, Jeremiah presents God as being sovereign over everything that's happening. And that one day God says, I'm going to punish the Babylonians as well, which happens. 50 years later, Cyrus the Persian, the Persian Empire, they come in, the Persians and the Medes, and they conquer Babylon. So God is presented as just being sovereign over everything that's happening. And yet in the midst of, you know, empire moving, God looks at Ebed-Melech personally and says, hey, I see you. I saw what you did, and I will deliver you because you trusted in me. And I think it's so important for us as Christians to hold both of those things together, that, I mean, God is sovereign over the nations and we can trust him. When we think about the future, and, you know, this past weekend we celebrated 250 years as a nation. We think about the next 250 years. What's it going to look like? You know, we don't know, but we know that God is sovereign and God is in control. And as Christians, we can take great comfort in that. But at the same time, to think, okay, the God who governs the nations, who governs the 100 billion galaxies and the 8 billion people on the planet, he also sees me personally. The psalmist in Psalm 139 talks about this, that God knows everything about us. He knows the words that we're going to speak before we say them, that he knitted us together in our mother's womb and wove us together, that and such knowledge is too wonderful for us, that there's nowhere we can go from his presence. God sees us, knows us personally, and loves us, so much so that he sent his own son, Jesus, to live and to die in our place and to bring us in a right relationship with himself. He's all-powerful, sovereign over the nations, and yet incredibly personal. The God who governs the cosmos also governs you and me. Let me take a moment to pray for us, and then I want to encourage you to take some time and pray. Father, thank you that you are sovereign, that you are all-powerful, and yet, Lord, you are personal, and you see us, and you know us, and you love us, and you've shown that love through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. God, I pray for all who are listening today that those realities about who you are, your power and your personal nature would just sit on us today. God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take some time now to reflect and to pray.